Got me. Oh, I'm almost there. I'm coming. I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. Hold on. Good grief. Hey, welcome back. I'm really glad to see you again. I'm really excited for you to meet my mom. She's pretty much one of the main reasons why I'm actually here in Australia. She decided to leave her job and actually follow her dream and move to Australia and start her degree and do something that she wanted to do. How about I just let her explain everything?
A lot of people who are older don't feel like they can change like things in their life or even try new things. What was your decision to go back to school?
I mean, well, my story is different because, like, I had a whole previous, like, career, and then I retired from the military. So that was, I mean, a lot of people in the military go to work, retired military, a lot of people go work for the federal government after they retire. Just from my experience, I've seen a lot of people go into the federal system, I guess because they feel like it's easier. Because it's something they're familiar with, maybe something like that. So that transition isn't as hard. But like for me, like it's like you have this whole new, you've done something for 20 years. Now you have this whole new thing that you can do, like a whole new life you can start. Like you don't have to be in this one mindset now. Like you can try to explore all these other things that you want to do in life. After you've had this one career, like you're still young enough to go do something totally different. And that's, I did work for the federal government, but I just felt like there was something else that I could do, that I wanted to look and explore other things that I have other interests in. And I felt like the best way to maybe do that was to go to school to try to learn something totally new that I don't have that much knowledge about, something, but something that I'm interested in. So that was my opportunity. So that's why I wanted to do it. And yeah, it's different because like you want to go to school, like especially when you're older, you want to go to school for something that I feel like you should go to school for something that you want to do, not something that...
Yeah, that's like for others, because I know a lot of people who go to school for their parents, and it's like it has nothing to do with their interests whatsoever. So it's nice to actually do something that you're actually interested in. What's the point of going to school and spending all that money and you're not even interested in it?
Or you kind of think you might be interested in it. So like as an older student, like you have that past previous like life or career that you've done to know like, okay, I've done this. So I know like the things that I know, some things that I like, and I know some things that I don't like. And you like can maybe get a little bit more clarity on like, okay, this is what I want to go to school for. I mean, like for me, it wasn't about going to school to learn something that's going to make me a lot of money. It was about something that I was like generally interested in that I could go into, learn about, and explore, you know, if this is something that I want to turn into a career. So for me, that's why I went back. I mean, it's just different as an older student to even talk yourself into going back, because you know you're going to be with people that are a lot younger than you.
Yeah, and just like recently got out of school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you'll have people in there that if you have kids, like older kids, like the kids are like your age, like your kids' age, or, you know, like, and, you know, you have to just go in there and, yeah, it's going to be uncomfortable because you're an older student. But then you kind of find out there's other people in there that they might not be your age, but they're also older students, people that are like in their late 20s, early 30s, things like that, that are also going to school. Because some of them, like some people I went to school with, they like felt like what they were doing just wasn't for them. That wasn't their career. They felt like they needed to do something else, something that they want to value, a career that they were interested in. So So some of them like left their jobs to come back to school to try to get a degree in something that, you know, that they would have more of a passion for when they go to work. They just was like, they were over what they were doing. They were just done with like sitting in the office every day doing the things that they were doing. They was dissatisfied with that. So it's interesting. Everybody has their own like journeys of why they go and come go to school. Even the younger people you go to school with, I mean, very interesting. I mean, to hear their story, why they picked the degree that they wanted to go to school in and why they're interested in what their thoughts are.
Also, what did you study? Because we never even like discussed what was your degree.
Oh, my degree is called Environment and Society. It's a social science degree that basically it's a lot of things rolled into one, because you can study it's about the environment, but it's on the social aspect of how people react to things in their environment, dealing with like climate change, dealing with waste, dealing with political issues. So you can do a lot of different things with this degree because it is so broad. So you have to like find your niche. So you can work in biodiversity. You can work in different councils because there's environmental programs in every like council that or like district where you live at. So you could actually work for like local government, federal government. You could deal with environmental policies, environmental regulations, or you can work for nonprofits that deal with different environmental issues. Like there's ones that deal with like greenhouse gas emissions. There's different ones that deal with you know, solar energy, wind farms. So it's just this degree you can do a lot of different things with, but the main focus when we were in school was that social aspect of how people react to different environmental issues in general, like their perceptions of it and like how your decisions that you make and how they can affect, like there's always a, for that one decision you make, there's always something else that's going to happen after you make that decision. And, you know, the thoughts and the things you're going to have to think of once you make that one environmental decision, how's that going to affect this particular group of people, this particular species, you know, because there's always going to be some kind of repercussion or something positive that comes out of that. So, I mean, it's very interesting. So, yeah, it's called Environment and Society. So, I mean, it's very different because most people do like environmental science. They do offer a double degree where you can take Environment and Society and Environmental Science, which I think is good because you get the best of both worlds because you get that science part and you get that that social aspect of it. So that one, that you would have had to do an extra year to get that degree. But I just stuck with the social science.
Yeah, I think you would have pulled your hair out.
You did a double degree.
I don't know, but I mean, it was people in my class that did it. I mean, like I said, it's good to have that. I think that opens more doors for you if you do the double degree, because that gets you in the door, because a lot of these positions out here, a lot of positions that I see, like when I'm looking, like a lot of them do ask for environmental scientists. So, I mean, I think like you get that more sciencey part that they need. And then also you can also do things like urban planning, like in the environmental side of like how people plan cities. Because we took a lot of planning. We took planning courses too, mixed in with our degree. So like, I think this degree is good because you can help a lot of people and you can do something for someone or something else, because you have to think, like we always say this, we used to always say this at school, like the environment cannot speak for itself. So you have to you are the representative for the environment.
That's true. Yeah, because like what was the most difficult part about going back to school?
The most difficult part, it's not even being the, like, as far as the age thing. It's about you've been out of school for so long. And then when you go back, it's like you're relearning how to go to school, relearning how to write papers. And, like, if you haven't been to school for, like, say you haven't been to school 10, 15, 20 years, like, and now you're having to go back to that mindset of going back, like, to school. And, you know, like, or if you've been in, like, the corporate world or things like that, like, there's different ways that they do things and they write things. But then going back to that academia thing, that was the hardest, going back to, like, academia, trying to learn how to write papers, writing things the way that they want you to write it, not that whole thing was just, that was interesting to me, just getting in that whole mindset. I think that it took me that whole first year to, like, understand, like the first semester was hard.
It was really hard. And I remember, like, especially with you and your papers and everything, just how, like, frustrated that, like, you were getting. And, like, even for, like, both of us, because even, like, yeah, like, you had your, like, yeah, you had been out for so long, and then, like, I had been out for a little bit because I was working. And also too, we both had been out for, you know, a minute, and then we came, you know, like, Australia, their teaching style is different. Very much questioning.
Yeah.
They questioned everything, while in the US is very much like, okay, like, you're, this is his answer. And I mean, like, this is, we're going to do this for, like, a test, or, like, there's no, like, there's not a lot of questioning here. Like, they're questioning everything. You have to have a valid argument for, like, all your, like, answers to your questions.
Oh yeah. They're very big on critical thinking. And, you know, there's not, you shouldn't just because somebody says something doesn't mean that that's, like, the end all be all answer. Like, you can question that, you can argue that. So that's what I really liked. I liked that, because at first they were like, oh, you have to write an argument paper. I was like, why are we arguing? Because I'm so used to this is what it is, this is what needs to get done, this is, you know, this is the flat out thing, and it needs to be done, and that's it. And that's why when they were like, you have to write an argument paper, I'm like, well, why are we arguing? What are we arguing about? Why do we have to argue this? They said this is this right here. Why are we arguing about it? And so, like, just to get that whole mindset of getting in that mode and trying to figure that out and figure out how you even write an argument paper, that just blew my mind. I was like, what do you mean? I mean, it took me to the third paper to get it right. One class took me to the third paper to finally get it right. And I was like, oh, finally understand this concept that they're talking about. Because there's more than one answer to something. And you can, you know, it's just like saying, like, it's, you can agree to disagree. Like, it's, you can, you know, just because that one person said it doesn't mean that that other person doesn't have a valid point to what they have to say. And then they bring out their points in that argument paper, like their facts and their findings to say, you know, this is why I believe this is this way. So, I mean, just to me, that was just very interesting. And, like, I'm not sure if they probably do this in America. It's just that I wasn't exposed to it. So for me, that was the...
Yeah, because people haven't been to university in the U.S., so we don't know, like, how the teaching style is there. We just know from just regular schooling.
Yeah, just from regular school, and I didn't have access to that. So, like, no, I just, the whole just going back to academia is, to me, just getting your mindset in that. And getting into, because my degree required me to write a lot of papers. So just getting in that mode and learning how to write properly, write proper academic papers, and, you know, just that whole set of doing that was very interesting. And then figuring out how to study, what works for you and what doesn't work for you. So that was tricky too in the beginning, like figuring out how to take notes. I know all this stuff sounds simple, but you just have to, it's like you're going back and you're reteaching yourself, because what you did in high school or something like 20 years ago that's not going to work for academia of today. You have to figure out your study cycle.
And also for your course too, because every course is differently structured. So you have to adjust according to your
every
course.
Course and every class. Like you have to go in there. Like I would have my colored pens, and when something was important, I would highlight it in this color, one color. And if it was very important, then I would highlight it in this other color. So I would have two different color pens, one for important and then very important. Like if you knew it was going to be something that you needed to know, like that you might want to add in a paper or something, some fact, like that would be in the other color. So I would always be like, this color is important. This one is very, very important. So you just have to come up with your own like styles of how you want to like do things. But that was the hardest part. But you never asked, did you want to know like why Australia or why?
If you want to explain that, like,
oh, yeah, no, I mean, we always also, get like, that what was question your... here. We always get that question. Why did you come to Australia? There's great schools in America. Why did you come here? And it's like,
this is frustrating because it's just like not every, like there's great schools everywhere.
Yeah.
And it also depends too, depending on your program, some other like schools in other countries and stuff, their programs are very good. So you want to go to a quality school or a school that just matches your teaching, your style or whatever. So, or even too, like there's some like schools that I looked at solely because I knew like there was a professor or like two professors that I'm like, I really like the work that they do.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can like do that too, because like, oh, you want to study under that person.
Yeah.
And so like that's not just like just because like, yeah, we come from the US and it's like, yeah, there's great schools there, but it doesn't mean that there's other like quality schools, because there's quality schools everywhere. And also like the compared to depending on whatever your degree is, a lot of schools overseas, a lot of people will be surprised like actually how affordable, even as like an internet from a US perspective, how affordable they can be,
right?
Because they're a lot cheaper depending on your degree.
Yeah, depending on your degree. Yeah, yeah. There's a lot out there. It's just that you have, that person has to do the research, and that's the thing. Like you have to sit back, you have to take the time to do the research, to look up. You know, you have to look up these schools, and then you have to look up the cost. And it's like a lot of your own personal legwork that you're having to do to find out about all these schools and how to even apply to get in these schools as an international student. So it takes a lot on the individual person. It takes a lot of work on their end to get the whole process started with trying to even go to school overseas. But if it's something that you really want to do, like you'll definitely call the schools, you'll email the representatives, like you, I mean, because that's what we had to do. Like I had to, because I didn't use a agent to come. I did everything myself. I got all the documents. I corresponded with the school, with the representative that handles the U.S. Post 9/11 GI Bill benefits. Like that was just a lot. That was a big process of just going through finding a school that had a program that I wanted to do, and then emailing all these people, like all these different schools, seeing like if I could even come there. Have they ever dealt with U.S. Veterans? And it was a long process, but I mean, it can be done. It's just that you have to have that. If you have that drive to do it. But even if you, for anybody, just going as an international student, I mean, it just takes a little bit more lab work, but you can do it.
And to kind of backtrack, because what is the agent? Well, I use the agent because like sometimes with your like student visas, it helps a little bit more if you have an agent, because the agent kind of validates like, oh, they pre-look at your documents and they stamp them too. So kind of like to make it, they validate all your information. So it's kind of like they're like the middleman of like your application. And so it kind of helps move along the process a little bit easier and a little bit faster, because they're like a validated person who can also like confirm like all the information and kind of like back your application, being like, yes, this person is legitimate. I work for them, their whole application, everything. They have all the correct documents and everything. And it just makes the process a little bit smoother. I would suggest it if you, depending on what country you're from, you have to definitely look, you have to be mindful also when you're looking at studying abroad, because depending on what country you are from, I mean, you have to be aware of the country's relations with your country, because it could be difficult. Yeah. For other, like, for, you know, for us being in the US, like, it's very, especially being a first world country, it's very easy for us to move around and get our applications accepted. Like, it's very, like, it's a little bit more easier. But I've had other friends who are from third world countries, like, for Pez, for our first episode, she's limited to only 3 visas that she can apply to. You have to be very mindful of your end goal of, like, okay, like, if you do like this place, like, can you go up for a grad visa? What other visa could you go on to next if you do end up deciding that? So you need to be also very mindful of what could be your next step if you want to, like, continue on working in that country, or even, like, possibly staying. And then kind of also backtrack again is, like, what is the GI Bill? Because not everyone knows what a GI Bill is.
Oh, the post 9/11 GI Bill for, like, United States veterans, they can... that is the bill that lets you go to school. You can go to school, and basically the Veterans Administration, the Education Department, they'll pay for your tuition at an accredited school that has been approved through the Department of the United States Department of Education. So that's something that, as a veteran, if you get out and you have an honorable discharge, you have access to the post 9/11 GI Bill. And so you can go to school, and basically you don't pay for it. The tuition is paid through the education department, through the Veterans Administration. So, I mean, it's a great program. So if you're a veteran, use it. If you're a U.S. veteran, please use it. But,
yeah, because there's schools overseas that you definitely could look at.
Yeah, so a lot of people don't realize, like, a lot of people use it in the States, like, a lot of veterans in the States use it, but a lot of veterans don't realize that they can go to school overseas. They can, there's approved universities, even though through the Department of, the United States Department of Education, have approved schools under that post 9/11 GI Bill program that are overseas approved schools. So but it's just that part where you have to do the legwork. Once you find the school, you have to go through and see, because each school has a representative that handles the U.S. Post 9/11 funds, because the funds have to be sent from America over to that foreign school. So you have to get with that representative and find out, because some schools have veterans, then you could be the first one that they ever deal with, and then you have to go through the whole process with them. So I went to a school that already had a rep who dealt with this program before, so he was very familiar with the process and about requesting the funds and making sure that my tuition got paid. So he knew the whole process. And that made it a lot easier. So, like I said, it's a good program if you're a veteran. Even if you go to school in America, I mean, it's very good to have that access to get basically a pay for education.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. No, I had another question. What is your advice to people who may be wanting to, like, change something in their, like, life at all, like, or make big changes, or even, like, want to go back to school? Because I met a lot of people who, like, they really, like, want to, who are older, and they, like, want to make that big change, because sometimes you get so, like, stuck in the way that how things are. You're like, oh no, that's how it is, or, like, you have the expectation of being I am older and I need to be in this place. And so, like, I shouldn't revert back to, like, going back to this. Like, what is your advice for those people who, like, who are at least, like, considering, or, like, worried, or, like, kind of, like, scared to, like, and like, you know, just to go back, because you don't have to be, you can be at any age and do anything. But there's no like, you don't have to be like, you know, like, oh, I'm 30 and I have to have kids in this house and everything. Like, you don't have to have all that stuff. And that's okay. It's okay if you do, and it's okay if you don't. It's really up to you. It's your life, and it's up to whatever your preference is. You have to be okay, like, wherever you end up at.
Oh, no, yeah, that's definitely true. Like, what you said, like, some advice that I would have for anybody that wants to make a change. Like I said, it doesn't even have to be school. It's like, whatever you're, it's true, whatever you're, like, afraid to do, you need to do it. Like, if you know, and then, like, you don't want to be, honestly, life is short. You think it's long, but it's short. And you don't want to be, you know, like, laying on your deathbed thinking, oh, I should have went there. Oh, I should have done this. Or be sick somewhere and you can't go to those places or go do that thing that you wanted to do. Because you'll meet people that say, oh, I'm going to do, like, this particular thing. And they'll say it. And they'll say it for, like, 5 years. And they'll keep saying, oh, I wanted to go to this place. Or I want to, you know, try this different thing. You know, one day. And you're like, what is stopping you from doing that? You know, like, you have to lean into it. And a lot of people get comfortable. And that's another reason why they don't change. Because they get comfortable. Like, I make this amount of money. I do this, you know, I have this schedule. I'm set like this. I'm comfortable. And a lot of people do not want to get uncomfortable. And when you get uncomfortable, that's when you make drastic changes.
Yeah.
You have to put yourself in an uncomfortable situation. And that is like the honest truth, because that's when you push yourself and you realize, oh, I can do that. Or I can do this specific thing. Like, I can live in this country, or I can live in this town. I can move from this part of America to another part. Like, there's no norm. Like, don't believe it. You have to be this person that fits this mold. It is okay to be different. Like, people are going to look at you crazy. People are going to talk to you. Like, when you say what you want to do and you actually start, like, making the motions to do it, people are going to be questioning it. Like, why are you doing this? You have to look past that, because you at least want to try. Because what's the worst that could happen if you don't try? Like, the worst that could happen.
You can always go back home.
Yeah, that's the worst. That's why I was like, you know what? I'm going to come here. I'm going to do it. Because I've, like, for years, like, a couple of years, I kept, like, talking about it. And, like, people just look at me like I'm crazy. Like, I say I'm going to, you know, I'm going to go to Australia. And, you know, people just look at me like, what? Yep. You know, like.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, I know there's so many people who were just, like, in disbelief that we, like, wanted to move. I mean, especially because, like, I mean, like, for you, because, I mean, you're the, I just tagged along, but, like, you, like, everyone was, like, such in, like, disbelief, like, oh, you're moving, why don't you stay here, blah, 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 why don't you just go to school here,
I don't think this is a good idea,
and it's, like, how, like, that you don't know what's right for me,
and I just got to the point, it just got to the point where I was, like, you know, what's the worst that can happen, I don't like it, and I'll go back home. So that was, to me, that was the worst thing that could happen, is I would have to leave and go back home, because I was like, I don't want to sit around and be like 10 more years from now talking about, oh, I want to come to your Australia. Oh, I'm still going to go there one day.
Yeah, because sometimes you live in this fantasy, like, oh, this place is going to be like this thing, like how I think it is. And you get there and you're like,
totally different.
And it's totally different. And I think it's also okay to say, like, I didn't like it. I feel like there's so many stories of people who, like, they moved somewhere, like, oh, everything was fantastic and blah, blah, blah. And it was the way that I expected it. Or, like, not saying that it was the way I expected it, but, like, it was just, like, very blissful. And there's plenty of people that I've met, and even just, like, for you and, like, us stuff, like, we know that Australia is not, we don't, like, we're definitely in terms of, like, depending on things go, but, like, still, like, it's definitely not a long-term goal to stay here. Like, we were both for, like, oh, okay, like, we, you know, it's nice to live
it's
here.
It's a nice place.
But, like, it's not for
Australia's a nice
us.
Place,
yeah.
But, like, I know this isn't my permanent, like, this is not my permanent home. Like, and some people know, like, this is where I permanently want to stay, I want to be. Like, I know that for me, like, I like Australia. The people are great, you know, but like, I know this isn't my permanent, I know this isn't my last stop. So that for me is not like my permanent home. Like, I know there's other things and other places that I want to go and see and do things in. So I just don't want people to get stuck on that. Like, it's okay to go somewhere and not like it. It's okay to go try something and not, it doesn't work out. It is okay. Like, you are not this, you're not one thing. You are multifaceted and you can be more than one thing. You don't have to be that, you don't have to fit in that mold of what everybody else does. And it is okay for people to, people can question you all day. If you are, if you stand in your convictions and you do it, just, I mean, sometimes you're going to honestly, you're going to have to scare yourself. You're going to have to just do it.
Yeah.
You need to scare yourself. You, I'm telling you, if you get uncomfortable, you have to get uncomfortable. Like, even if you, even if you're not like moving to another country, just doing something, like even like going to school, or like if you want to start a business, do the research, do the things you need to do to make it happen. Even if you, you don't have to do it all at once. Like, some stuff you have to work up to. Do little baby steps to get to that point where you do it. But you have to be strong in your convictions, because people are going to question you, and question you like all the time. But you just have to, you have to just say, this is what I want to do, and yep, I'm going to do it. Because you only get one life. You, and you can't wait. I mean, you don't waste it. Like, at least try to do it. And if, like I said, you, what's the worst that can happen? Somebody tells you no, you go work, you do something else. You still pursue that dream. You still pursue it. Like, when something is placed on your heart like that, like, or something you want to do, and you're constantly like, it comes back up, you have to at least try it. You don't want to like be on your deathbed like, I wish I had at least tried it.
Yeah, because yeah, you'll never know. Yeah, you'll
you
just
never know what's
going to
come out of that. Like, yeah, you don't want that fan. You don't want that fantasy in your head. You want to at least have tried it. And it's okay. Like I said, if it doesn't work out, it's okay. But you still tried it. You say, I did that, you know. And you, like, I'm just a believer in that. Anything that scares you, gets you uncomfortable, you need to do that. Don't get in that comfortable position and stay in that position, because a lot of times you'll be unsatisfied. I mean, some people, they're great with that. But like, if you really have something pressing that you want to do, you should do it.
Do it. Yep. What?
This section is about funny interactions, new lingo or sayings that we've learned, and confusing moments that we've had as we're making our way through our new home country. This week on
What? Oh, you have a lot of what?
Yeah, and that makes you go like, what? Like, why? Like, you know, why is this like this? Like, you can talk about what the price of avocados. You were quite
I was
shook
distraught.
About
that. Yeah, because they were expensive. They were so expensive. Yeah, that was the what. Like, when we went to the grocery store the first time, when we first got here, when we came. Like, when we were in the Airbnb when we first got here, and we went to the store, and it was like, why is the price of meat so high? And, you know, like, why is everything in here so expensive? Like, I know you told me it was going to be expensive, but, like, why are these avocados, like, $3-4? And when you come from, like, Texas, where an avocado could be between 50 cents and 99 cents, you're like, you're upset. They're like $2-4. Like, you go places and you're like, why is this like $4? It's an avocado. And no, just the whole price of food, like, was like, what? Like, the price of fruits, bananas was like $3, $4. And I was like, they're 99 cents in America. They're less than a dollar. Why does it cost so much here? And you just have to like, and then I didn't really know about the markets, like how you could go to the markets.
Yeah, some people don't know. Yeah, like, you can go to the market.
It's like substantially cheaper to go to a market. Even you have your local stall market, fruit stands and vegetable stands in your local neighborhoods. It's still like, a lot of times they're cheaper than the grocery store. And that was just walking in the store, just looking at the prices, I think was the what. Because I kept flipping it. I kept like trying to convert it to America,
yeah,
like prices. And I was like, this is ridiculous. So that was like my first, what was like this, the prices in the grocery store, just looking at how much everything cost and just trying to adjust and figure out things, because we didn't know about like Aldi. We were going to like the main grocery store chains and we didn't know really about Aldi yet. Who's in America, like they weren't that popular. They were popular a long time ago, then they stopped and now they're like coming back. But like the way they are set up here, they're a lot nicer here. The way they're designed and everything.
Yeah, and also too, they sell furniture, which is very nice.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Yeah. Yeah, they sell a lot of things that they don't. They may sell it now in America, I don't know, but like I know in America, like back a long time ago, like they didn't sell that. They didn't sell furniture and all these different things that they do here. So like I said, all these are very nice here. So I know it was just the whole like going to the store. I thought the stores were just going to grocery shop when you first get here. And so I was like, what? And the price is like, why? It was more yeah. like a why than a what. I was like, why?
Yeah, I'll never forget the first time. Yeah, went to grocery store. How they
and how they do the real estate here, like apartment hunting. That was the what. It was like, what? how they do the whole, you have to go to an inspection and look at the apartment.
Should we tell them about our very first one?
Oh yeah, we should have took pictures of that. To this day, I was like, oh, we should have took a picture of that. Because we went, like, we made an appointment because it was like, you know, you have to make an appointment.
Wait, let's backtrack you have to, for Australia, you have to make, like, you have to book inspection. And so they won't let you rent out a place without seeing it, which is good, which is totally understandable. Like, you know, I don't know if it differs between like states, but like typically you can definitely rent a place without really seeing it.
Oh yeah, I mean, well, a lot of places in the states, depending on where you live at. I know, like where we came from, Texas, you had the apartment complex, and you had the. You saw the model apartment. They would set up a whole apartment, like whatever, like the apartment complex would have different styles of apartments, one bedrooms, two bedrooms. And so they would take you to the model apartment, and the model would be all furnished and like painted and nice decorated, and everything and decorated. And that's the one you would see. So you could look around and, you know, go through the whole apartment and you would see that model apartment. And then that's what you would base like off of. You would take that model apartment and you would say, okay, I want to apply, you know, to these apartments because I seen what the model looked like, you know. And you would just pick out which apartment you wanted because they had whatever vacancies they had. And you would pick out the one you want and whatever apartment building it was in. And then that's it. You put in your application. Where here you have to physically, the one that you want, you have to physically go and inspect that apartment.
Yeah, like kind of like how, like from what we've seen, like in New York, like you actually go and like you see
that
apartment.
Yeah, you actually go into that apartment, and see it and stuff. But I know in Virginia we went actually to the apartment.
Yeah, we saw like the actual apartment.
It just depends on what state you're in and how they, whatever like kind of places you're looking at. I know just like in the places we were looking for in Texas, you went to the actual model apartments.
Yeah.
And then like when we were in DC, like some of them had models and then some of them you went to the actual apartment and saw the actual apartment. So it all depends on what state and how that particular place wants to do it.
Oh no, I'm just trying to explain this properly. Cause you go online, you look at the apartment photos and then, you know, you click to book your inspection. And then you go to your like inspection at that time, and you have like a time frame, like window for your inspection. That's what we did because the first places that we looked at were in South Yarra, and I know that some people who are from here, they're like, oh gosh, like you looked in South Yarra because South Yarra is a very popular area, and that's something that I read online, and so we were like, oh, and that's where our Airbnb was when we first came here because we stayed in the Airbnb for like a month. It will be, I mean, in general and for Melbourne and probably definitely in Sydney, how competitive it is here. It's absolutely ridiculous. Because yes, we went to our first inspection in South Yura.
Yeah.
And like we showed up. And how many people were there?
It was probably over 40 people.
Yeah.
At that inspection. And it was like the inspection time. Because your inspection time could be like 10 minutes or it could be like 5 minutes. Like, so you go in. Since that one was so, because I booked it. So I'm thinking like how America thinks. So I'm thinking, oh, we're booking the inspection. So when we go there, I'm thinking I'm going to meet the agent there. And that person's going to take me around. And it's only going to be me in there. And that's it. And that's how I thought it, because that's how it is in America. You go in there with, it's just you and it's not 40 people waiting in line to see it. So when we got there, it was a long line just to see the apartment. Everybody was standing in line. And the apartment was like, I think on the second or third floor.
It was like on the third or fourth floor. Like we climbed up a lot of stairs.
Yeah, so everybody was standing in line. The line went all the way up the stairwell, all the way up to the apartment door. That's how many people was there. It was like over 40 people, and we were all standing in line to see this apartment. And so, you know, you have your window to go see it, but like you're in this long line, so there's no way that you're going to meet your window time. So by the time we got up to the door, the lady was like, you have 5 minutes. Yeah. And I was like, okay. And when you went in there, it wasn't you just in there. It was you and like all these other people trying to look at this apartment. And I was like, all these people are going to try to apply to this apartment. I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, how are they going to determine who's the person, who's worthy and who's not? And I was like, this is crazy. So it's all you and all these other people looking. And then the fact that we didn't really know the city.
Yeah, we didn't know the
So we areas. Didn't know like about the surrounding suburbs, different like little townships. We didn't know. So like all we knew was South Yard because that's where we were at. And like it was like that was just difficult trying to figure out, okay, like you gotta look on the map. We gotta see where we're at, like, and see like how long is it gonna take us to get from here to there, you know, and like what's gonna be the best areas for us to live in, because like we found out really quick that South Yara, that's very
competitive. Yeah.
So we can't, it's going to be hard to find a place here. So we had to start looking outside of that. And like, it was like, how far are you willing to go? And then just trying to navigate the city to figure out, okay, like what side of the city are we going to live in? What side outside of the city are we going to live in? So no, it was just very interesting because when you're coming from somewhere else, and then it's like we weren't going to stay in student housing. So it was just that whole, we have to figure out the city and figure out how long it takes to get on public transportation
from the out to our schools.
To the schools and stuff. Are we going to live closest to one person's school, or are we going to go and live far out and then just commute back in? So that was just like tricky. So a lot in the beginning, we had to go see a lot of things in a lot of different areas,
get sunlight, and I was like fine. And then we went to the bathroom and there was a hole in the wall, and there was they like tried to put this single brick, like that was just enough, but it was this huge hole in the wall, and it was just a single jacked up brick there. And even what we just talked about, like earlier, kind of, like today, is the beer can one.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And we like walked in, and like we felt so bad for the agent, because you can just like look into her eyes, and you can see like how like upset she was, and how she knew like no one was gonna get this apartment, because the tenant was still like, I don't know, the tenant still lived there, but they didn't clean the apartment at all, and like it was just like Bud Light everywhere, like it was. It was like it was past like your. It was like almost. It was up to like your thighs. Like that's how many, like beer cans was in that apartment. And it was just like they clearly the photos were like from back when the apartment was like first open. But like it was really bad.
If it's not, and then too, another thing when we first got here was the busy season.
Oh yeah,
so that made it more competitive. That's the time when a lot of people. That's like one of the times a lot of people like to move, because it's summer, And then
a lot of the international students, a lot of schools are about, universities are about to start, or they start at the end of February or beginning of March. So then there's a lot of people
trying to get a place to live. Yeah. Yeah. And then, yeah, and then, like I said, that's their peak summertime. So people are trying to move during the summer while the kids are out of school and different things. So, yeah, that's what, it was very competitive. Like, so we came at this, like, peak time trying to find a place. So, and then, like, the whole thing of us trying to, the public transportation, because we could, since you had to go to these inspections, you, some places you wouldn't be able to see because, like, they might be having an inspection at the same time as this other place you wanted to see. So you had to figure out which one do I really like the most so I can go see it. So that, like, you'd have to be like, okay, I'm just going to pick this one. I'm not going to be able to see the other one and figure out what time, you know, when they're going to have another inspection so I can hopefully see the other one I like, because they both was at the same time on the same day and I could only go to one.
Yeah, and then you had to hope that they booked another inspection, because at that one inspection, they can find a person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, but I mean, I like the fact that they let you do see the actual apartment. So there's no surprises. This is what you're getting. This is what it actually looks like. So that, I do like that you see exactly what you're getting.
Yeah, but then also the application process is very, like, lengthy. So they want, even if you are coming from overseas, they want your overseas references. There's no, like, exception, because they will call.
Oh, yeah, they will contact. Yeah, they'll contact your overseas. I mean, because I can figure that, because they have a lot of international students here, and then they have just a lot of people that are from other countries here. So I think that's understandable. They get a lot, like I said, they just get a lot of people here that are from different countries. So I can see them, it not being a big issue here.
But the agents here are not attentive, I would say, because it's so competitive that they know someone will fill the place. So don't expect someone to really work with you. Because
They'll show it. They'll do inspections until somebody rents it out. I mean, especially in the peak season, like, they know that they will probably get an applicant. So, I mean, depending on where it is. Like I said, we kept looking. We were looking in those competitive places that we just didn't know was so competitive. That those places were gone. When they did that inspection, more than likely, somebody was going to rent that and it was going to be gone. So you constantly were like, that's all I did. I was just constantly like, well, we got to go look. We got to go find inspection. We got to go see this place. We got to go see that place. Yeah. So yeah, just that whole process. That was.
If you want to submit your
what?
This a voice memo through Anchor, leave a comment through iTunes or Alina Podcast on Instagram.
And then I also wanted to, briefly about, like, working. Because we both worked in Australia. I think that's just the one thing that I kind of, like, love about Australia is, like, their work culture.
Culture is very different.
Yeah. Especially compared to America, where I just feel like we're always hustling. Like, we're always, like,
you're always in the grind in America. Yes. You're constantly in the grind because the pay does not equate to the living standard. So some people are working two and three jobs just to make ends meet.
Yeah.
So you're always grinding there, you know, trying to make it just to sustain. You're grinding just to sustain yourself. That's what a lot of people are doing in America. And I mean, just like here, it's like
the cost of living is very high, but, like, you could, if you get, like, a solid job, like, you could, it's very easy to save, I would say. Like,
on what kind of job you get and depending on, like, what other bills you might have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if you have other debts and stuff, it might be a little harder, but I don't know. I think the pay here equates to the cost of living. It's coming from America. The pay here is a lot better.
Yeah.
It's a lot better. Like, you can work like I said, you can work casual, part-time, and still make what a person in America would make as a full-time job.
Yeah.
And they're working like 40-plus hours a week. And here, you're coming here, you're not even working 40 a week, and you're working casual, part-time. You can make the same money you work made as a full-time person in America.
Yeah, because casual work in Australia, it's very common to just work like casually, while like in the U.S. typically a lot of people, you know, you either work full-time or part-time.
Yeah, you're either full-time or part-time in America. So, you know, like the work culture is here, they're more relaxed.
Yes, definitely
they're
more relaxed.
They're way more relaxed. They're way more open to working with people's schedules.
Yeah.
As far as like if you have like commitments with your children, or if you have school commitments that you need to get work done, like they really like they seem to want to work with your schedule and stuff to try to accommodate you.
Yeah,
and
they
things
don't
like that.
Live for work. Here,
I don't think to me they don't live to work.
Yeah.
I mean, coming from a place where you're grinding all the time,
yeah.
To me, like this is like I come here and it's like mind blown. What? Like, yeah. Oh my gosh! Like you don't have to work all these hours this whole week. Like, what? There's rights.
Like they'll like leave me. Like, oh hey, I want to go travel for like a year, and then they come back to the you know to go to work. Or like sometimes too, like the maternity leave.
Oh yeah, maternity leave here is like very nice from what I see from here. Like people they're off like depending on your job, like you know 4 or 6 months. Some people are gone like a year, depending on where they work at and things like that. So now it just seems very.
Yeah, it seems very like accommodating, like overall compared to the U.S. when it comes to working. And also,
oh, yeah, and I think in the U.S., it just all depends on
on the company.
But I,
feel like
but
on
I think a lot of America is the grind.
Yes,
a lot of it is. I mean, it's understandable because, like I just feel like I said, the pay does not equate to the cost of living in America. It just doesn't compare to me. So I think that's why a lot of people have to grind, like I said, just to make
ends meet,
to make it where they make it every day. They have to do the hours. They have to pay because they got to pay for their health care. They got to pay for the kids. They got to pay for, you know, or school or something. Like they have to grind just to make it. So no, like, no, I think, yeah, like I said, the work culture here seems like it's more accommodating. Just from my experience, it has been a lot more accommodating to,
No, it definitely has. Especially, like, yeah, with the super, like how, because, yeah, they call their, like, retirement, they call it supers. They call it superannuation. And, yeah, because unlike in the U.S., like, it's like an option if you want to do your retirement savings.
Your 401ks or anything like that. That's what they call them in America. Like, if you want to do, like, a Roth. Or 401k or anything like that in your company or on your own, like, yeah, it's optional. It's not mandatory.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, it's nice that here, like, it's automatic. It comes out of your paycheck automatically because they're really, like, it seems to be, like, when it comes to retirement, like, they make sure everyone, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, working for a university or you're working at a fast food restaurant, they're opening your retirement account for you. And you're starting your retirement account for you. And it's like nice that they actually just like do that to take that initiative. And I just,
yeah, even if you're international.
Yeah, even if you're international, you have your own like retirement savings put away. And when you, if you do end up deciding to leave, you get about like they take away like 30% of that fund from you. And then you get to keep the rest. So that's up to you if you want to like to use it for something else or if you just want to go back to your home country and put that money towards your own home country's retirement fund. So I think that's great that they actually do that. I really love and appreciate that they do that here in their work culture. Was there anything that you dislike?
I don't really dislike anything that as of right now in my work experience and like my work experience have been like, they've been really good here in Australia. So, I mean, but I've only had like, I've worked at university. So like, and those were like good working experiences. So it wasn't, there wasn't anything like that I disliked about working when, I had the opportunities to work. Only thing is, like I said, just like it is competitive here being an international student, trying to find like a good position and stuff because you're on that limited, restricted work hours and things, which is understandable, you know, but just it
better to do casual jobs because here they also have the casual loading. Since of course you're a casual person, you don't have like any health insurances or like anything attached to it. And so you get an extra penalty loading to your wage. So like for me, like my actual wage, if I was like part time or full time, would have been $19. But because I was casual, I had the penalty ratings. I'll have to look up what is the actual like percentage that they do it based on, because also it depends on your job too, and also like what level you are, because like all the jobs that come in like at different, if you're like different levels, and then the average rating, and it just really just depends on your job. And so yeah, so my average wage is like $19, but because of the penalty wage, it went up to like maybe like I think it was like 20, I think it was like 22 or 23. But then also you have another, like it goes up even more depending on what time you work and also like what days you work. So if you work on the weekends, you get more money because you're working on weekends. And then of course you get your holiday pay. And then also like for me, for where I worked at, because I was working like mornings, nights and stuff. And so like we have during the mornings, it was a different pay rate, and then like once it hit like kind of afternoonish, it was a different pay rate. And if you're working like late at night, like past 12 o'clock, then that was another different pay rate. Well, towards the end, because I got also too, because every time like the more time you spend in that position, like you go to like a different level. And so like by the time I had got to like, you know, I got to like another, I moved it to another level, and like yeah, by the time I left, like it was between like, my rate went up to like, I was at the lowest was between like 26 all the way to like $36 was my like between my pay rate.
Yeah, it's a big difference. And then like a lot of places in America, like especially like in service industry, like jobs, like you don't get that. Like you work the weekend, you still get the same pay. You work, you know, nights, you still get the same pay. So it just all depends, like in America, it just depends on what company you work for. But like a lot of places don't do that. A lot of places, like you just, this is your pay. That's what you're getting. And that's it.
For each guest, I have them like ask another question to the next guest. And so this question is from Jono to you. Like what are you going to do differently or change? And to add on to that question, are you going to do like after the COVID-19, like what is your plan?
That is a very good question. Thanks, Jono. Yeah, because everything's different now. Yeah, because you think like, especially now, because if you're a graduate, it's very different because you just graduated from like university or even like from high school, like the whole atmosphere has changed, because especially like as a graduate of university, because you're thinking, oh, you're going to come out. I mean, it's no guarantee with anything that you're going to get a job like exactly when you get out, but you're like, at least like you're pursuing that, like you want to at least get like something in your field, you know, especially if you like, some people just like they'll get the degree and they know that they might not work in their field. But like if you know like this is the field you want to work in and you're looking at prospective like jobs, like right now it's like, because I had a position in like a research funding, but like I knew that was just
temporary.
That was during temporary. That was just for you. That was at university. But like, after that, like, I wanted to go, my initial thing was to, like, find something in my field dealing with, like, circular economy, like, which deals with reusing waste and making things, stop using raw materials. I'm trying to take the waste, and the last resort is recycling, but trying to take the particular things that you would consider waste and that actually can be reused and reusing them again, or taking that product and making it into something else that can be reused and brought back into the supply chain, and not just like taking everything and making everything a single use. Like, I really wanted to go into that circular economy field. That's where that's like one of my things that I'm really interested in going into, and also like something dealing with, since I worked in the research funding, I thought that research is very interesting because like research creates a lot of new innovative ideas, mm-hmm. different kind of thought processes, and research creates a lot of change because you need the research scientific or social research projects. They do create a lot of different things that we use today, different things that we constantly look at to make better. It's done through research because you have those questions that still need to be answered. So I find research very interesting. Mm-hmm. So that was my original goal, was to like try to get into those, like at least either that, go into research, or something dealing definitely with circular economy. Like, and I'm always interested in anything dealing with like food insecurity, because I have a background in my previous career, like dealing with a lot of food. So I'm really interested in that. But like right now, like a lot of those doors are like closed because of COVID-19.
Yeah, because we literally just like watched jobs vanish, because even in Australia your jobs is very, in Melbourne it's very competitive also.
So like right now, yes, I'm literally have watched, because I was applying for things, putting in for things, looking at things, and that was my thing, like trying to look. And I wasn't just looking here in Australia, because my intention was to actually leave Australia after graduating and go to another country. But I'm open to go. Like if there's an environmental position that I could get into, just to even get my foot in the door, because I'm starting at the bottom, that's fine. Just to even get that experience, like I was willing to go to, you know, another country just so I could get into the field. And it's like, now you can't even, you know, I'm going to be here for a while now.
Yeah, because so now you fully have transitioned over from your student visa to a grad visa.
Yeah, so I had put in for the grad visa before the COVID. I mean, COVID had started, but like, that wasn't my reason to put in for the grad visa. So, I mean, it just, as far as like trying to move to another country, because once you graduate, you have basically 3 months. You're still on your student visa for 3 months here in Australia. So within those 3 months, like you have to decide, like if you haven't done the grad, if you knew you weren't going to stay here, you have to decide, like, am I going to do this graduate visa? And when you get a graduate visa, you can stay here. Like now it's 2 years. So you have to decide, am I going to do this graduate visa, or am I going to go back to my home country or go somewhere else? You know, and initially that was my dream, was like to go somewhere else, you know, and work in the environment and stuff. But like after I graduated, and it was just like looking for a position, and even trying to, that's a lot to try to look for a position and try to move to another country, mm-hmm. at the same time. So I wound up doing the graduate visa to give myself more time and even see if there's any opportunities here, you know, so I won't just be jumping from one thing to the next.
Yeah.
To just going from one thing to the next. I still have to go back to that same process I did when I came here. I have to go through all those visas, the whole thing, and see which visa I'll be able to go into those countries in, you know, like, because I'm not a student anymore. So now I have to figure out like which visas can I go into these countries on, mm-hmm. in, and you know, and stay on the long term. and have the access to work, you know, because I still wanted to work in the environmental field. So like, I don't want to just go there and just not be able to at least try to get into that field. So that was just, it was a smarter move to stay here and then try to really hone in which countries, where's the opportunity at for me, and then leave instead of just jumping from one ship to the next ship and stuff. I mean, I would have made it anywhere because I would, you know, I'm going to do what I have to do to sustain.
But it would have been, just a lot of pressure.
Yeah, it just would have been more pressure just trying to hurry up and just leave.
Yeah, and then, still you don't know. Like, you may not like that place. And so you jumped the ship for a place that's like, eh.
Yeah, that's kind of like so-so and stuff. Yeah, so I just decided it would be better for me to do the graduate visa and do more research on and stuff and still look at if there's an opportunity in another country where I can get in that environmental field, you know, still always leave that door open because you don't want to just base. Yeah, you have these things about, you want to go to these particular countries, but if there's an opportunity for you to get in that field, sometimes you got to take that opportunity because it's so hard, like as a graduate, like even right now, even before like the whole COVID thing, like it was just so hard trying to find an entry level position because you have experience in other things, but in the environmental sphere, just trying to get your foot in the door, I think it's kind of tricky. It's kind of hard. So, and you probably have to make a lot of connections.
Like, in what way is it hard?
Well, for me, because I'm not from here, like I don't have any like connections. Or even if you leave in here and you go into another country, because a lot of jobs is about who you know.
That's true.
A lot of stuff is who you know or who knows you that could, you know, potentially say, hey, I know this person, you know, they need, you know, they're new to the field. No, so just even having that connection or talking to people in those, when you're in one country trying to do something in another country is kind of hard. That is very hard to do when you're trying to do something and work something else in another country. So that is a tricky move. You have to be prepared. And that takes some time. That takes time to do.
Yeah, to navigate that, yeah.
Because even if I had wanted to leave, I actually should have started. I mean, even though I wanted to leave, I should have started the process of me actually getting ready to leave here. If I wanted to leave and just after I graduated, I should have started it 6 months before I graduated, at a minimum.
Right, because it's so hard to do that, to prepare for 6 months, because you're also trying to just finish school.
And you're trying
to like, knock that out. So it's so hard to prepare to be like, okay, am I going to apply for that visa or am I going to go back home? And then on top of that, you're looking at jobs. And it's just like you're going like back and forth between like you have to finish your schoolwork because you're going to graduate. So you need to finish that last half of what you need to do.
Oh, yeah.
And then like you need to look for a job and then you need to decide, are you going to stay or are you going to go? Because depending on your situation, you need to really prepare.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, some people know. I mean, I think I just put that was a lot of pressure just on myself because I knew. Because some people know, like, oh, hey, I want to stay. Some people know it flat out. They want to stay in that country. So they know they're applying for the grad visa. Some people know they want to leave. So they know they're going home or going to wherever another place that they're interested in. So for me, it was just harder because, initially I wanted to, it was just, I didn't block out that time to put, you know, really do that investigation into the visas. And I know it takes time and I know it because I've done it to come here and I would have had to seriously block out that time because you just have to do it. Because I mean, I did all this other stuff when I was working.
Yeah, that's true.
So like, it can be done. You just have to dedicate that time into going into there and going to the whole visa process, the application and everything. And doing that whole thing all over again. So it's just very interesting when you come, like when you live in your country and you have all the benefits and the rights and the different things, you don't know like the whole process of like when you see people or other foreigners and stuff and you're living in your country, the whole process that they have to go to just to get there.
Yeah, and that, then what they're makes, even limited like, it, to do.
You totally look at them different now. You look at the whole them, you give them so much respect because it's so different. So the only thing that, the thing that's changed is like now I have to look at, I have to always think what, okay, I can maybe get a job in something that I already know how to do that I've done before in past careers, but I have to always be looking, still actively looking in my career field to see if there is a way I can get into the environmental field. It's going to be twice as hard now to get into the environmental field. That's the thing with what's happening now. It's going to be twice as hard. And like here with me not having any like connections, like can you even get a job? It's not even,
yeah, it's not even like, about like, yeah, like what can I get in my interest? It's like, can you even get a job at all?
Because you have people that had jobs, you know, because my job ended when I graduated. So I was in the process of looking, you know, and I'm willing to go back into like research funding because I thought that was fascinating. Things like that, go, you know, different things. Like all those things are dried up now. Universities here, like,
yeah, they're not hiring at all. Yeah.
If the only thing they're going to hire is like a lecturer, you know, a tutor or something like, or a researcher that has a research project or, you know, like if they need something, you know, but like they're down to the bare bones because they're not making any money. So it's like the thing that you think you can maybe do is a fallback, not a fallback, but something else that you're still interested in. Like even those jobs are like gone. Or they're like, you, if you get in one of those, you need to stay because you're not going to, it's going to take a while to even get the economy and like the opportunities back. And right now it's just about, can you even get a job? And that's scary because you're competing against a lot of like educated, smart people. And, you know, you come out with all these different things. Like you come out with these, it's like, oh, I spent these last 3 years, like, you know, doing these things to get to this point.
And now you're back at the beginning.
You're back. Yeah. It's like you went backwards instead of forwards. So it's just interesting. But like, it's interesting just to be as a social scientist. Like as a person who's been to school now for like learning about social issues, just seeing how people act, seeing like you're just hoping like in the social aspect, like will we learn anything from this? Like so that's just like my biggest like takeaway from this. Like I hope that we learn something from this, not revert back to the way we were. Like this happens for a reason. Like we can't keep going the way we're going, like how we treat the environment, how we treat each other, how we live day to day. Like we're really affecting a lot of different things. And like I said, the environment can't speak for itself. So, you know, like we just can't keep this. We can't go back to the way we were.
Yeah.
How we do business, how we do logistics, how we move things, how we create food. I just hope people get to realize, like, you know, like we need to make some improvements, even improvements with yourself and then improvements with like just how life is, how we do things in life. We need to be way more efficient than what we're doing.
What is the question that you have for next guest? It can be any question.
The question that I would like to ask is, what is something that you would like to do, but you've always been afraid to do, and what has stopped you from doing it? And will you ever do it?
For joining.
Oh, you're welcome. I appreciate you having this chat with me. I feel honored to be on your podcast.
For joining my mom and I on this Mother's Day special, and I hope that you also had a fantastic Mother's Day. This is Alina. I'm your host, Aki. New episodes every other Thursday. If you have a question, suggestion, or topic, send us a voice memo through Anchor, iTunes reviews, tweet at us at Alina_podcast or Alina Podcast on Instagram.